Welcome to Off Script with Dan Dwyer on Robin Hood Radio, featuring in-depth interviews with guests from the world of theater and allied arts. Underwriting support from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare collectible and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. And now, here's the host of Off Script, Dan Dwyer.
Thanks, Marshall. Tony Kushner, one of America's leading playwrights. His best-known work is the Pulitzer Prize-winning Angels in America. One of his least-known is Homebody / Kabul, which premiered in 2001, in which he started as a monologue called Homebody in 1998. Homebody Kabul is rarely staged, and Kushner has allowed just the monologue part, the homebody part, to be performed on few occasions. Those occasions will take place at the Ankrum Opera House in 6 performances the weekend of August 3rd and the weekend of August 10th. Homebody is about a London housewife who's obsessed about Afghanistan. My guest today is the actor who will be performing Homebody, Danielle Skarstad. Danielle grew up just across the Hudson River in Cairo, New York, and has experience bringing Kushner's complex characters to life. She appeared in The Intelligent Homosexual's Guide to Capitalism and Socialism with The Key to the Scriptures at the Public Theater in 2009, and she's also been seen in the recent Broadway revival of Arthur Miller's All My Sons and has appeared at New York Theater Workshop, Playwrights Horizon, the Studio Theater, the Cherry Lane Theater, among many others. Welcome, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I should say we're sitting at the Ankrum Opera House, and the stage is set, and you're in the middle of rehearsal, so thank you for taking the time. Before we talk about the character, set up how Homebody relates to Homebody Kabul as it relates to what your character is doing in monologue for, I guess, about over an hour.
Yes.
Yeah.
The homebody is a she's a housewife, and she decides to throw a party, and so she goes to a shop and finds some hats, and in that store something happens to her that is quite mysterious and launches her into a curiosity about a place that she doesn't know a lot about. And so she, one of the things that she finds is a guidebook to the city of Kabul in Afghanistan, and it's moves her and changes her, and that's what happens.
Okay, the character, you know, when you read plays, one of the first things I guess they teach you at drama school is that you know, as character study, you start listing just the things that the factual things that a playwright will tell you about a character, and then as you practice and get deeper into the play, you flesh out the character in your own dramatic interpretation. There's not that much that Kushner tells us about this woman. She has a husband.
Mm-hmm.
She has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's might be depressed. Maybe. Anything else that we want to say about her or not say about her?
The thing that we talk about making lists. The list that we had to make was, what do all these words mean? Because the thing that the homebody does do, for whatever reason, we never know how she came to be as far as this particular, and she says, you know, I don't know why, you know, my parents weren't like this. She is drawn to cast off or forgotten knowledge. And she also loves language. So even though it appears that her daughter and her husband might not enjoy her talking to them, and in fact, that's why she ends up alone so much of the time. She does like forgotten words. She uses them a lot while she's speaking in her kitchen. So because they're so forgotten and so cast off, I had never heard of them. But luckily, I had Jeff, our director, Vanessa, their summer intern. We had our stage manager. I mean, just everybody dove in and got involved. And it was a lot of looking up these words because we weren't sure if she was using words that were forgotten or if she was making up new words. And it turned out that is both are true. So sometimes she uses words that aren't used a lot anymore. For example, quizzle bash.
What is a quizzle bash?
Should I say? A quizzle bash is a hat, and it means red hats, and it was to show like what. I forget what army you were a part of, but it was a military hat.
Mm-hmm. And this is, we don't want to give too much of the plot away, but this is all part of her fascination with things, Afghanistan, and a little trip outside the house that she made that afternoon.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Do we want to say more than that? No, probably not.
No.
That's all right. But it's interesting to me what you said about when I asked the question about the character, the first thing that you responded to was not so much about finding out about the character, but that cutting through the language.
Yes. Yes.
So you really had to study the language.
Oh, that's been the whole thing.
That the character
the whole
was
thing.
Using to understand the
it
character.
It still hasn't ended. We're still going through
it. No, but that's
it.
Kind of, I mean.
The language is the, is her. She is her words. And you don't know her until you know what the heck she's saying. And she's saying beautiful, complicated, tough things.
Well, that's fascinating, though, because is that an unusual experience that to understand a character you have to go through her words before you get to her thoughts?
For me, it is. Usually, yeah. I find acting to be an exercise in listening to other people and reacting to what is being given to me from the outside. So, my part, most of my career, I feel like acting is really reacting. This, I'll be curious to see what the experience is once we get my quote-unquote scene partner there, which is the audience. But for right now, it's driven by her. It's driven from her need, and she's not reacting. She is the catalyst, and she, it's output, it's all output,
right.
Not reaction.
Fascinating. In case you just joined the program, the program is Off Script, and the topic today is Tony Kushner's Homebody, and my guest is Danielle Skrostad, who is playing Homebody in 6 performances at the Ankrum Opera House the weekends of August 3rd and August 10th. We talked a lot about, you mentioned the complexity of language here, and I wonder if I could ask you to perform a little part of the play so that we get a sense who this character is and what the language is like. So the actress is Danielle Skrostad, and she'll be reading from Tony Kushner's Homebody.
Oh, I love the world. I love, 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 love the world. Having said so much, may I assume most of you will have dismissed me as a simpleton. I cannot hope to contravene your peremptory low estimation, which may, for all its peremptoriness, nevertheless be exactly appropriate. I live with the world's mild censure, or would do were it the case that I ever strayed far enough from my modesty, or should I say my essential surfeit of inconsequence, to so far attract the world's attention as to provoke from it its mild censure. But I have never strayed so far from the unlit to the spotlight, and so should say, rather, I live with the world's utter indifference, which I have always taken to be a form of censure in potentia. I speak, I can't help myself, elliptically, discursively. I've read too many books, and that's not boasting, for I haven't read many books, but I've read too many, exceeding, I think, my capacity for synchresis. Is that a word? Straying rather into synchesis, which is a word. So, my diction, my syntax, well, it's so irritating. I apologize. I do. It's very hard, I know, to listen. I blame it on the books. How else to explain it? My parents don't speak like this. No one I know does. No one does. It's an alien influence, and my borders have only ever been broached by books. Sad to say.
And you go like this for an hour.
Yes.
Wow. So let's talk about what happens in the hour. You read, it's not all your thoughts like this. You also read a lot from a guidebook.
Yes.
Because this character, Homebody, has, when we don't know her name, by the way, do we?
No.
No, she's just Homebody. She's preoccupied with Afghanistan. Why?
She says it's a world that is so at the heart of the world that the world has forgotten it. And you know, I've been really just spending a lot of time on the actual script. So I don't know a lot about what Tony Kushner had to say about it, but I did run across an interview where he was saying that it felt like, you know, here's this country in the middle of everything, and it seems like so many people have tried to make their mark on it, and yet it always emerges as its own thing,
right.
So I don't know why she wants to go there, as far as how, you know, as far as somebody who's living in London in 1998, why somebody would want to go there. That the reason why she wants to go there is because of an incident that occurs in the shop that's mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does seem to be, you know, because of that. It doesn't seem to be, or at least, you know, as far as... And I'm trying to not give anything away.
Right.
That's why
there
I'm
is an
speaking.
Incident. There is an incident that happens that really holds her attention, okay, and gives her a reason to continue to do, let's say, research.
Yes.
And share her research.
Yes.
About Afghanistan. But do you think it's really about? I guess the question is: do you think this is really about Afghanistan, or do you think she's a compulsive character where she could have just as easily been waxing crazy about Nepal or recipes for Indian food or something else?
Well, she does have a library. So there, you know, I don't think that she's left before, mm-hmm. but she definitely is curious about things that other people are not curious about.
Okay.
And you know, she speaks to that. But
right.
but this is different somehow because she does something that she's never done before.
Okay. So what's different about this too is that it's also a monologue. So when you're rehearsing for this or learning this role, you don't have the usual tools that you have when you're in a play. I mean, by, you know, throwing the ball, catching the ball, you know, returning the line from another actor,
yeah.
or a lot of stage movement. I mean, you're in a kitchen. I assume you'll be moving about a little bit. So how do you pattern your learning of this role?
It's been a lot of drilling. It's not that exciting. I mean, you have a little bit of but... The book, it's been drilling. It's been drilling. I'm sorry. Not the most artistic thing I've ever said. It's drilling.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just going over it and over it and over it.
The language again. Going through the, you mentioned working with Jeff Musso, the director here, and other people at the Ancrum Opera House, and really going through the language. Did you sit there with dictionaries and start looking up what really were some of these words? Because when I read the play, I didn't understand a lot of the vocabulary being used.
Yeah, everybody pulling out their phones. Not only using the dictionaries on the phones, but like how do you pronounce things?
Uh-huh.
And that was interesting because people would have different pronunciations on their phones.
Right.
So then we kind of just choose one we liked.
And you're doing this with a pretty much with an English accent, a little bit.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you pick up the role?
A month ago.
About
a month ago.
Yeah. You've worked with Kushner's plays before.
Yes, I first ran into Tony Kushner in 1990 at SUNY Albany when I was taking a class with Professor James Farrell, who is from around here, and he assigned Angels in America as a class, and so we read both parts 1 and 2, and that was my first introduction to him. And then I got to meet him when I was auditioning for the replacement of the angel in Angels in America.
You played the angel?
They offered me a choice. So that I went into audition for the angel replacement at the Signature when they were doing it down there. And then, so Michael Greif was directing that and Tony Kushner wrote it. And then, but at the same time, they were casting for Intelligent Homosexuals Guide for the character of Maeve. And so I came in for the angel. They asked me to come back the next day for a different play. at the Public, and I auditioned for Maeve. And then I got a call, and they were like, basically like, well, it's up to you. Do you want to be Maeve in Iho, or do you want to replace the angel? And so I got to choose, which was kind of cool. So I chose Maeve. But you couldn't do the same thing because they were running simultaneously.
So you've worked with Kushner directly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's that like?
And then we did that together, and then, a couple of plays just, working around the table. If he was restructuring something, he was looking at a restructuring of something, and then he was working on another play, which I don't even know if he had a title for it yet, but that was fun too. Peter Sarsgaard was in it, and
I'm just practicing your name. Don't bring up a name that sounds like yours now, and we're never going to get away from that. Talking about language and pronunciation and vocabulary. So, is this, having worked on at least another play that was produced, that was staged by Kushner, and doing a lot of readings by some of the stuff that he's written? Is the language in this more complex than the others?
Well, it's because it's just so much. You're so alone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so fun, though. It is really fun. It's like, it's just so exciting what you can do if you just want to be, just be like, I don't know how he does it, but the fact that somebody can do it and just says, I want to layer as much language and as much imagery into your imagination and move you. I mean, it's thrilling to do. It's thrilling to listen to. It's thrilling to read. It was thrilling to try to get to the bottom of it. Yeah.
Let's get back to the bottom of Homebody. I read the monologue last night, and it's all those things that you describe. But what do you think Homebody's really looking for? I mean, it's a really perplexing proposition because she's clearly a complicated character. She's got intense interests, which you've talked about. She's curious about a lot of things. We know very little about her home life, except she clearly has, she knows how different, as you've talked about, she is from other people. And she's never been to Afghanistan, but she's obsessed with it, preoccupied with it. What is she really?
I think she's, she feels like I think she's struggling against the guilty feeling of complacency, that she knows that a lot of horrible things are happening and that, she's throwing parties and she feels a little, she feels that. I think she feels like love is, if you are going to love, then you should love the world. She talks about this a lot, but not a big world. You need to love the world in specific. And to love something is to see it for its good qualities and its bad qualities. And to that love doesn't necessarily make you happy. That love is just something that is recognizable with all its like chinks and broken pieces, and that is what love is. And if you're not willing to love the good and the bad, then you do not love that thing.
Right.
So that's something that she's working out.
When you're working through this piece, do you get a sense that there's a lot that Kushner's constantly, even without really being aware of it, and this sort of just impressed me hearing you talk about it, that there are all of these contrasts that he's always making. In geography, for example, you're at a kitchen table in a place in London, but she's talking about these universal historical phenomenons. You talked about, the if you love, you've got to have the good and the bad. Do you think Kushner's setting up these kinds of little conflicts all the time in her head? Because what is the conflict in this story? I mean, typically, if you're got a piece of drama, you're looking for a protagonist, antagonist, something happens, somebody's got to make a choice. And then, of course, with a lot of 20th century drama, you know, those choices in Beckett and Albee and other places became more obscure. So what is the real, what is, you know, where's, what's really going on inside her?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still working on it.
I mean, I'm not saying that you should have an answer or there should be an answer to it. But is that what you think Kushner's, you know Kushner better than...
It seems like it's I'm still working on it, but I think it's like, it feels now, or at least today, that it's about responsibility. And, you know, what are my responsibilities to myself? What are my responsibilities to my friends? What are my responsibilities to my country? What are my responsibilities to my daughter, my husband? And then what are my responsibilities to places and things that are part of my existence, and yet I'm not interacting with them directly? And that, you know, if I don't seek out anything beyond my little scope, then am I kind of asking for a smaller life? You know, is that succumbing to luxury? Is that inertia, guilt? Does that make you guilty? And does that inertia make you a malevolent person? Mm-hmm. That your lack of, your complacency actually is a form of malevolence. And that, you know, she's struggling with, maybe she's responsible for, because the things that she is supposedly responsible for, they might not need her. And they, in fact, wish she would stop talking.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that's just where I'm at right now. I'm just,
yeah. I mean, she's alone a lot, it seems.
Yeah.
You know, she seems kind of solitary. Anyway, in case you're just joining us, the guest is Daniel Skarsgård, the actor who's going to be in Homebody, written by Tony Kushner. That's going to be in 6 performances, 3 a weekend, the weekend of August 3rd, and then again the weekend of August 10th. You mentioned in the course of rehearsal that it's been a great resource to have some people sit in, and so that you have somebody to play against, because this is a monologue. Are you, in for this performance, are you going to rely more on audience reaction than you would if you were in an ensemble?
Oh, sure. They're your scene partner,
I'd say.
I think so.
So do you pick up, can you pick up a vibe from an audience when?
Oh, yeah, especially in this place. It's so intimate. You can see them, you know. Of what they think is funny, what they're interested in, you know, what
we should say that for anybody who hasn't been to the Ankrum Opera House, it's an old opera house built in about 1880 or so, the late 19th century, maybe turn of the century. And then it was an old Grange Hall, is that right? Yeah, originally a Grange Hall. So it seats about 125 people, and it's a really, really intimate space.
Yes, yes.
So do you... when you're on stage for a monologue like this, do you actually pick out people in the audience that you look at, or do you sort of look beyond them?
Oh, no, I'll be talking to them.
You will be?
Yes.
You will be.
Yeah. She's talking to them. She's not talking to herself. She's talking.
But the whole play is she's talking to herself.
No, she's talking. I think she's talking. For whatever reason, all these people are in her kitchen. That's what I think.
Well, no, but that's really important. I mean, that's really important, because if you read the play, you can imagine her as a very solitary figure sitting in a kitchen going sort of little bonkers, just rambling on about all kinds of philosophical things. But you think she's really communicating.
I do. He has a section in there where he writes, he says, you know, we're conversing, even though you're not saying anything.
Uh-huh.
Everything I'm saying is driven by fear of you out there sitting there saying nothing, of your absolute terror, of your censure and disdain. So I do think that she's talking right to them.
That's fascinating. So you don't think that's just the playwright's device to sort of bring the character to the audience? You think inside her head she has an audience.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. fascinating. Okay. Again, the play is Homebody. The guest has been Daniel Skarstad. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay. And to see Homebody, it will be at Ankrum Opera House Friday evening, August 3rd, Saturday evening, August 4th, Sunday afternoon, August 5th, and again the next weekend, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, August 10, 11, and 12. I thank my guest, Daniel Skarstad. The play, again, Homebody at Ankrum Opera House. This has been Off Script. I'm your host, Dan Dwyer. I appreciate you tuning in. If you liked what you heard on this program and others on Robin Hood Radio, please go to robinhoodradio.com, go to the support tab, and express your appreciation. I would appreciate that, as would the management. Again, thanks, Daniel Skarstad, my guest in Ankrum Opera House. Until the next time, as a dear departed friend of mine used to say, be well.
Underwriting support for Off Script with Dan Dwyer from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare, collectible, and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. Off Script with Dan Dwyer is also available via podcast on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, and then click on Off Script with Dan Dwyer.